I'll tell you that's the way that I like it. I'll tell you that's the way that I like it. I'll tell you that's the way that I like it. I'll tell you that's the way that I like it. I'll tell you that's the way that I like it. All the FC Radio.
You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction to FC United's league game with Kidderminster Harriers from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as Saturday's match with Kidderminster Harriers, on this week's show, we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their pre-season friendly against Rhyl from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with good news as the club has announced a new partnership with the Energy Check for the coming season. The Energy Check are an energy consultancy covering both the commercial and domestic energy markets and have recently launched a new domestic utility switching site, www.theenergycheck.co.uk. To matters on the pitch now, and on Tuesday night, FC United hosted Spennymoor in the first home league match of the season in what turned out to be a bit of a thriller.
Now it's Joel Logan, spreads it out to the right-hand side. Joel Senior to Logan. Logan now, level with the 18-yard line. Left-footed cross, not bad at all. McCarthy, and it's going to be 2-1! And Gilchrist there finishes off. That was an excellent piece of football from FC United. They strung together several passes. A fine cross to the right-hand side. A calm header across to the unmarked Gilchrist, who finished it off 2-1. FC being patient here. Fagbola brings it over halfway. And now a good turn from McCarthy. Does ever so well. He's got... And it's a good shot and a good save. Comes back, rebound. It's 2-2. And pulling the ball in the back of the net was Daniel Wisdom with his right foot. Whoa.
But all the work there done by McCarthy. Absolutely brilliant. You know, he's turned his mind, the space has come in front of him. He was waiting and waiting for Joel Logan to make a run into the box, but it wasn't coming. And what a shot. It's a great save, because it was a fantastic shot coming in, but it wasn't parried away far enough, and Wisdom picking his spot, top corner, fantastic from FC.
Bit of an inquest in the FC defence, but they've got a corner to defend now, right hand side, and Spennymoor having been under pressure now, and now it's Taylor hits it down and scores, sucker punch. FC United having got it back to 2-2. Careless there, Dixon was all on his own. And then when he lost control of the ball, nobody dealt with it for FC United. Ended up as a corner, and it's 3-2, Spennymoor.
Sadly, the final score was 3-2 to Spennymoor Town. We'll be finding out shortly if FC United could bounce back against Kidderminster in their following match. And lastly, for this week's news, supporters will be able to reserve seating in one block of the main stand at a first-come, first-served basis. You can reserve a seat on the day before the match by calling the FC United office on 0161 769
2005. FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
To Saturday's game in the league now, and FC United return to Broadhurst Park to take on promotion-chasing Kidderminster Harriers. Here are the FC Live team with their pre-match thoughts.
And we're here today for this big league encounter of FC United Manchester, currently winless in the league versus Kidderminster Harriers. currently winless in the league.
Indeed, before we do anything else, Ben, a big hello to David David. Or is it David Davis? David David or David Davis, it's a good afternoon to you.
The Brexit guy.
No, no, he's a staunch FC United supporter.
The Brexit guy.
That's David Davis.
Right, what did you say?
I either said David David or David Davis or Davis David. I just had a convoluted message whilst live on air by a man chewing a Werther's original in my ear, and he told me to say a big hello to, he's not too well at the moment, I believe, David David or David Davis. I do apologise. And apparently we've got to maybe mention the score a little bit more during the game.
Well, this leads us on to matters arising for today's broadcast, and we can exclusively reveal that BBC Radio Manchester is here. So if you're listening from the Trafford branch and you're dying to know the score,
it's 0-0.
It's 0-0. But also, we should say, it's more than 0-0. The score will be read out on multiple occasions by Radio Manchester, because more times than not, they'll run out of things to talk about. Isn't that right, Swamper?
Indeed, it will. Let's not forget today's game also. If anyone's interested to note, because we've got sponsor galore, it's the Red Issue. It's
the Sanctuary.
They're sponsoring today's game, and they've donated everything back to the club. In fact, they've refused the food as the main sponsor of the day, and they've been given a whole book of tickets for beer, and they've actually decided not to use them because it would be wrong, because therefore everyone from the Sanctuary that's here are paying for the beer because they don't want to cost the club any money, which I think is fantastic.
Really good. And the match ball is being sponsored by the Giddies.
The Giddies, yes.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. No. So it's going to be flags and stuff.
Jumping about. Can I trade to Buxton.
Can I mention Spennymoor very quickly?
You may.
Are they sponsoring the game as well?
Well, you know, some of their fans were stranded here after the game last week.
Yes, good point.
They were,
We were here till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we kept the bar open and looked after them. Well, Spennymoor's bus has broken down on the way to Boston, so their game is postponed.
Oh, my goodness.
So there must be something about Spennymoor buses.
So the team bus has now broken down.
Yeah. And so their game is postponed.
So the supporters' bus broke down on Tuesday, so they all stayed at the bar till 1.
Yeah.
And the team bus has broken down.
So they can't play today.
Wow. Very, very interesting.
How's that?
It's ridiculous. Well.
Hot off the wire, that.
Hot off the wire. Where did you get that information from? Is it old Twitter sphere?
speaking of Stato Paul, a cracking stat from today's game. FC United have never lost the first three matches of a league campaign ever. The pressure's on, Swamper. But then again, for the visitors, a lot of expectation, and they've not won their first two matches either.
No, they haven't, but I think the expectations are greatly different between the two clubs this season, so I think we've both got our pressures either way. Certainly from a Kidderminster Harriers perspective, they want to be getting at least a goal today. They've been beaten home and away the first two games. 1-0 home to Chorley, and then they went to Nuneaton, is it right?
I mean, yeah,
was Nuneaton,
yeah,
wasn't
lost
it?
At Nuneaton.
A lot of Nuneaton, an own goal in one game, and they're a team that obviously have got desire, because they brought in Danny Bradley, and that's not cost them. It's cost them pretty more than
£75,000
than this stand at this moment in time. Well, half built stand. We could do with 75 grand to build the other half, couldn't we?
So that does lead us on to team news. So it's time to team news. Team news. Right, so team news. And, James Hooper's back, Swampy. He's on the substitutes bench. Matty Hughes starts, and Swampy's already given his thoughts on It'll Be Off, which you can track down on Facebook or later on YouTube.
I'd be interested to know Paul's thoughts as well, because obviously we don't get an opportunity to find out from Carl his thought process before picking a team. So we can only surmise, and my thoughts with Matty Hughes coming back, yeah, we know the quality of him. But Sam Baird last season was possibly the best centre-half that we had. Great potential, great talent. He's young enough and good enough, so why isn't he playing week in, week out?
Well, I mean, I think that Fagbola and Hughes were shooed in to start the season, as far as Maggi was concerned, and Hughes was then absent for various reasons. So I think he's basically got his first selection of centre back out today.
The question about Baird
is a good one.
But to be fair,
well, let him answer it at least.
No, I'm just throwing in another name. Corbett has been starting instead of Baird for the last two games.
I know, yeah, but the question is in relation to Baird.
There's a pecking order here, I think. I think Baird is certainly going to feature quite a bit this season. I think injuries and suspensions will take care of that.
Yeah, but as a centre-half who certainly got the talent, certainly got good quality, every manager that I've spoken to about him have said what a talented player he is. He doesn't suffer pressure, he plays the ball well, he doesn't look uncomfortable in this division in any way, shape or form. You know, you're going to... If you're on the bench, fine, but he's not even on the bench today.
I think
that's going to be very, very disappointing for the young lad, as it is going to be for also another player, Kieran Glynn.
And Michael Jones.
And Michael Jones.
I think our strength in depth will get Buxton promoted this season.
Well, the wise words of Stato Paul, never controversial. The teams are led out by the referee, Benjamin Speedy.
To hear now if FC United could take all 3 points in this one, it's over to Marv Willers now for a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. Well, FC United are going to have to wait a little bit longer for their first win of the season, meaning the Reds have begun a season with 3 consecutive defeats for the first time in their 12-year history. FC United lost 2-1 at home to Kidderminster Harriers on Saturday afternoon. Here's the goals.
United now is an opportunity for FC's number 10. First time shot comes in. Oh, and a good effort there. The keeper gets a good save. Got his good arm down to it. As Brandon Hall. But again, if you give Richard Baker a little bit of room, and they gave him and fought him a little bit too much there, Paul.
Yeah,
it was a good effort.
He's quite keen on having shots from distance. And he troubled the keeper there. It was a good save.
Well, it'll be a corner ball with Lowe. Lowe will take up this near touch line. Good ball towards the back post. Who's on the end of it. Good header in there. It's an opportunity. Oh, it's an old goal. I think the header came from Danny Wisdom initially, but the man on the back stick, well, he's just kicked it straight into the back of the net. So
6 minutes on the clock. I suppose technically we'll give it to Wisdom for the time being.
Well, they're a team that are a full-time team, and in all fairness,
whether this is a hangover from being unable to score against us last season, I don't know.
Well, they're not in the running as of yet. FC United are much the better team, got a lot of quality about them. The passing is good, but then they've just got to sleep there. Nathan Lowe, ball chip towards the back post, who's on the end of it. Well, it evades everybody. It'll be picked up by Nuata at the back. Plays it inside, though, now to Daniel Bradley. Bradley, first time ball comes in. Good header there. Should be an equalising goal. And a great header there by Emmanuel Snoupe. And FC United's defend as well. The ball was whipped in by the debutant Bradley there. And the defence all static, and in came the number 7 and just glanced the ball from what, about 12 yards out, and an equalising goal on this near touchline now. He looks up, hits a high ball, very, very high to one end of the pitch to the other side, and it should be picked up by Sanupe. He holds the ball in the corner flag, Wisdom for company, and he gets himself a corner, does well there, Sanupe. He's been really enjoyable to watch, as has James McQuinklin and both Tyrone Williams and Joel Taylor for me. They've all been exciting footballers, and an enthralling end to this game with approaching 10 minutes to go. It's another corner for the visitors. They've had a plethora of corners in this game as FC United have to defend once again. Can Daly get to the end of this time? It beats everybody. It's an opportunity. It's a goal! It's a goal! It was coming. We have to say that. And FC United couldn't defend it. They were all on the goal line. The entire FC United defence all bunched together. And it came out, and I think it might have been Emmanuel Sanupe again that might have got the final touch. I'm just still looking for clarification. But, they've had, what, maybe 7 or 8 corners, and that one's counted. And FC United, with 10 minutes to go, find themselves 2-1 down here. And FC United suffer their first 3 games in a row here.
Defeat at the start of the season.
At the start of the season, defeat. And we have to say there was certainly an entertaining first 45 minutes, of which FC took an early lead on 6 minutes, a header from Daniel Wisdom, which resulted in a bizarre half clearance that went into the back of the net, but it was going goal bound anyway. What a piece on 20 minutes from that man, Emmanuel Sanupe. And the game was to and fro in the first the first half. There was some good football from FC players, some good football from Kidderminster, but they came out with a bit of purpose second half, didn't they, Paul? And
yeah,
I think they've shown really with shots on target and also the amount of corners that they had, something was going to give, and FC United's entire team seemed to give when they all collapsed into their own goal as Sanupe put the ball into the back of the net again.
I think that first half we competed well. Half time it was one apiece and it was in the balance. We had certainly had our moments in the first half. Second half, the visitors absolutely dominated it and we shrank from the challenge of competing with them. And the scoreline of 2-1 has not done them justice. They could have won it far more handsomely.
Well, I can see the headline now. FC narrowly defeated by 2-1 in pulsating game.
Stunned by late winner.
It always is. I mean, luckily someone hasn't been sent off because we'd blame that, wouldn't we? In all fairness, second best second half by a country mile.
They've looked like the team that finished runners up last season.
Well, you're right, a good second half performance, and FC United and Manchester will three defeats on the bounce. Some entertaining football in parts, certainly on Tuesday, and certainly here this afternoon. But the same token, Carl wanted this to become Fortress Broadhurst Park, and at this moment in time, two games here, two defeats, and just a small task, a matter of going to Southport now on Tuesday to try and get something out of that game.
Yeah, I think that, the worrying thing is there's only North Ferriby below FC in the table now on goal difference. And that has to be rectified pretty quickly, and we need some points on the board.
Well, we have a game on Tuesday, and then Saturday we're at Bradford Park Avenue away. So two away games now for FC United and Manchester, but a disappointing second half from FC. Those quality players which you saw in the first half, the likes of Nathan Lowe, especially Nathan Lowe in fairness, because we know the quality, he was up there, the tempo was there. Second half, the tempo went completely. FC United were just bullied out of everything. I mean, not in a physical way, just in a footballing way.
We're going to do one more cup of coffee in a second. We're going to go off air in 3 minutes. But you could tell Kidderminster grew in confidence as that first half grew, as soon as they got the equaliser. And I think that's what their management probably needed, because going into this game, they were a bit fragile, weren't they? And you could see that in the opening first half.
Yeah, the first 25 minutes, I thought FC United looked the more dominant team. They looked in control. They looked good on the ball. There was good intensity. There was good pace. They got the ball out wide. We got the goal early. And then we switch off for a poor equaliser. But what you can do then is say, look, forget about that. We're playing some good football. Let's continue to play our good football. But as the game progressed, they got better and better and better. And as I say, you go in at half-time and you've got to come out off the blocks at home, and it was the opposition that came out off the blocks in the second half. And in reality, they bossed the game all the way through. The decisions that they made when they brought substitutions on were good substitutions. They were like-for-like players. They were strong up top. They won and commanded everything in their own area. I mean, although saying that, it could have all changed on a sixpence with that great double save from the goalkeeper, Brandon Hall, against FC United and Manchester's Chelsea Gilchrist. But if you don't take that chance, you've got to say, right, we get another chance. But that was the only chance I can think of, really, in the second half from an FC perspective, James.
Yeah, I think as we talked earlier, and we'll again, no doubt, that equaliser changed the way. Kidderminster looked fitful. They looked tense. They looked like a side that desperately needed a point and weren't settled. And that goal really settled them down. And the more the game went on, the more they looked comfortable. You know, they really did. And some positives for FC, but not the same coherence that I think was certainly existed as the time went on.
We're going to carry this on for one more cup of coffee, which is available on Facebook in a second. Big thank you to Swamper.
Yeah,
big
thanks.
Thank you to James. Thank you to Stato Paul. Thank you to Stephen Wood. But this has been FC Live. We'll be back on Tuesday, live from a big, massive beach in Southport. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, wish you all a fond farewell. Good night.
This is FC UM Radio, where footballing insight is left at the door.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Broadhurst Park. And it's full time here. We're here for another one more cup of coffee. I'm Ben, here's James. Swampy's gone for a wee. He'll be back in a second or two. But this is post-match thoughts after that result there. Kidderminster Harriers coming to Broadhurst Park and winning by 2-1. Said in the first half, James, it was a half of two halves. FC United come straight out of the blocks. looking really fiery, taking a lot from that game against Spennymoor on Tuesday night. But then Kidderminster grew in confidence more and more, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they're a full-time professional outfit. They were runners-up in this league last season. But they would have been anxious coming into this game. Neither side had a point on the board. Kidderminster hadn't scored this season. And FC took an early lead, which definitely added to the anxiety. And there was a sense with the Kidderminster players. They just looked anxious. They looked tense. They weren't quite putting it together. And that goal by Sanupe, which came from a ball being given away by FC in the other half, was just relaxed them completely. And they, as the game wore on, they had the initiative. And the second half, I thought they really did look like the full-timers, and FC struggled for coherence. And that was the curious thing, I suppose, is that why FC did a really strung the passes together on Tuesday night. Obviously, the result didn't end up the right way. There was lots of more patience. The ball was interplayed between the FC lineup very, very nicely. That seemed to go, and what happened, particularly as the game wore on, FC seemed to lack direction in the game, and Kidderminster just, on the other hand, relaxed, played the ball around, created a lot of chances. Daly, in particular, McQuilkin was putting in some superb crosses from free kicks and beyond, and he and Daly, in particular, big number five, just wasn't converting them. So in a way, FC were fortunate. Regarding the winning goal, Swampy, Allinson came for it, didn't get it. What was your...
Well, there was a plethora of players in front of him and around him, and it just seemed when the ball fell kindly for...
Sanupe.
we were all on the line, and it just seemed a bit bizarre, defending. The goal was always coming. There was no question about that. They had, I think, seven corners in that second half, and they were putting us under pressure. The one thing I was disappointed with, that we didn't match them around the pitch. They're a good footballing team. They're playing the full time. So what you've got to do is, look, we might not have the same quality, but we can match them for pace, or try to. We can match them for fitness. We can match them for tenacity and work rate. And we've got to get into the faces. And I think when you're playing against a team like that, and we showed in the first half, if you get into them, put a little bit of pressure on. There was a bit of nerve in the Kidderminster team. Second half, we didn't do any of that at all. We allowed them to come on to us. Our big name players just did turn up in the second half. They were nowhere to be seen, in fairness, which I think is very, very disappointing. And if you give a team of any quality a little bit too much room, they're going to murder you. And they did in large parts of that second half. Allison made two or three very good saves. I thought, again, Fagbola defended well. I thought young Joel Senior had a decent game as well, and he was left with lots of pressure upon him because our wider men weren't getting back enough. I didn't think Logan had a particular good game. I thought McCarthy was ineffectual. I think Gilchrist, for large parts of the game, was not involved, simply because he was having to chase everything down rather than everything else. And I think what symbolised that in the first half is, but Daly let him head it, let him beat him to the ball, because he knew he could flick it on, there was no one behind. So it was simple, you can jump up and win the header, because it's dead easy. Look, there's my two defenders and my goalkeeper, so there's no point in me even having to jump up. I think Linfield, when he came on, didn't do anything at all either. I found it again. Hooper, who we know is a good quality player, didn't really get into the game. He had one shot, went high over the bar. I think the fact that we bring Greaves on with 8 minutes to go, and we take off Gilchrist, and then we put Fagbola up top as well, primarily 5 minutes to go, it seems a very strange one to me. You've got a goal scorer. You scored two this season already, two headers as well. Keep him up there. Keep your player on. Bring McCarthy off. He hadn't done anything in the game, really, McCarthy. I'd rather get beat by 3-1, 4-1 than take a centre forward off and put another defender on to go up top. I just don't see the point of it. I thought, all told, we were made to look very, very ordinary in the second half, which is disappointing, because there was good signs on Tuesday. There was a good first half here as well. And Carl will probably be saying, I'm building on that, I'm building on that, I'm building on that. I thought Matty Hughes coming back into the team, getting a yellow card early on, he was resolute, but again I think his final ball was poor, and we've given the ball away. When the whole thing about football is it's a football, you keep it. Don't every time you get the ball, hit it long and give the opportunity for your visitor team to come along and say thank you very much, we'll take it off you.
And Hughes, though, lacking football, isn't he? So he would have been...
well, if he is, why play him?
Well, but he's got to play... No, I mean, he's lacking Matt. I mean, he's got... You know, the defence has looked frail. He has got more experience. As we discussed earlier in the game, he had a presence about him. Him and Fagbola were very vocal. We observed last weekend that in the away game at Brackley that the FC side was rather quiet. That certainly wasn't the case today. It's three games. I mean, the thing is that FC, if you want to draw crumbs of comfort, the two teams that have beaten FC before today have still got 100% records, and Kidderminster are a full-time outfit, so there shouldn't be any sort of panic yet. But we're playing another good side away on Tuesday, Southport. So I wouldn't want to draw any conclusions just yet. But it seems to me we need a settled side playing together. That it's got to be the focus on the kind of passing game that was played on Tuesday night, which was effective for parts of that game. I think that has got to be the focus. I'd like to see Hughes and Fagbola stay together, see how they go for the next few games, bit of experience. I think you're right, Senior, I thought, very tenacious, very resourceful. He was under a lot of pressure on that left-hand side. He looked mature. I think with moving on to Gilchrist, I'd love to see him play alongside a big centre-forward because to play, as we've discussed during the games, if he's isolated on his own, he's going up for high balls with big, often with two centre-backs marshalling him. He's very unlikely to get the ball, and if he does... There's not normally a player close enough to.
We've talked about this for a long, long time, haven't we? And we've even talked. You know, we know how strong Tom Greaves is, but his game isn't get the ball up to me and from the edge of the 18-yard area or turn and shoot. Tom Greaves is a 6-yard player. Gilchrist is a 6-yard player. So why do we rely on playing balls up high to a player who's a 6-yard ball player? I mean, we're supposed to have the width in Logan and McCarthy to get the balls into Gilchrist, but that hasn't been achieved. The goals that we have scored, the last few goals we have scored, have come from wide positions, and it's worked. And you can see when it works well, it's simple football, and you can score goals from it. But today it hasn't in any way, shape or form. You're right. I mean, if we're going to proceed and continue with this style of football, for me, we've got to go two up top and see how it goes. I don't know why Carl's so reluctant to not play two up top, because we haven't got an out-and-out goal scorer. So they'll pick the ball up, run 30 yards and score a goal. We've got 6-yard goal scorers, and we've got occasional goals from the likes of Lowe and a few others that, you know, contribute tremendously well. Don't forget, we've also lost our top goal scorer in George Thompson. So goals are going to come at this moment in time. You're looking around the team sheet, so where the goals are going to come from. But if you play two up top, I mean, we've not bullied them in any way, shape or form. They've allowed Gilchrist to head balls because there's no one that's going to come on and win the ball off you. So you've got to change your tact. I mean, we've seen too many balls from Fagbola's guilty of it, in fairness, and so is Matty Hughes. They're playing the ball long up there, hoping that someone's going to get in the end of it. Now, play into the chest, yeah, no problem at all. Get it into the midriff so they can control it, maybe pass it on and move. But again, there was so much distance between the three top players. You would have never said today that they were playing as a three. You would have said they're all playing in, you know, different types of games. Logan never bombed down the wing enough, never got past his man enough. It was a good contest to get, we said in the first half against, I think it was Williams, was it, on the right hand side, but he never did enough to put him under pressure. And then we never swapped the two players from left to right. We never put McCarthy on this side and then Logan on that side to try it out again, and we did that on Tuesday. We swapped them over. But today again, there's some good, I mean, we played some good football today. But you've got to play for 90 minutes. You can't play for 35, 38 minutes of a game. You can't play. You can't have half a team playing for 70 minutes and the rest of playing for 35 minutes or whatever the time might be. You've got to play as a unit continuously and work as a unit. And even if it's not pretty, but you've got to be resolute and work hard. But too many players went missing.
But the ability is there. I mean, what appeared to be the case on Tuesday night was the players, say Gilchrist, had players closer to him, like... McCarthy in particular was effective,
yeah, yeah.
And he was playing closer. So if you're not going to play two out and out strikers, What about who could play? Would you make it tight? Would you tighten it? Would you put McCarthy just closer and Logan or whoever is playing? Just
what I would have done today, and it's a question that Michael Norton, the famous Michael Norton, has just asked us, why isn't Greavesy playing? Well, today, for me, you look at your two centre-halves and you go, is this a game for Norton? Is this a game for Norton and Greaves? Yes, it is. So can I play Greaves up alongside Gilchrist? Yes, I can. You could do that today. And you can bully. And you can get into the ribs of. And you can make them feel... A defender loves the fact, oh, there's one man up top. We just pass him on. When I'm bored of him, you can take him up, take over. We never caused him. We've had, I think three shots in the entire game, really, the goalkeeper's had to do anything with. There's no, the centre-halves have come off that game going, you know what? It's quite easy today for us, that, because there's no real pressure. Michael Norton, even... And the reason why Nort scored lots of goals... And the reason why Greaves scored even more goals is because those two, especially Norts, would get the ball, bring it down on his chest, put it through, and there's Nort, there's Greaves to bang the ball in. It's worked. So why aren't we doing it now? Greaves has still got goals in him. If he's good enough to stay at FC United, he should be playing him. There's no point in keeping a player at a great club and bringing him on for 8 minutes a game, expecting him to change the game, because it's not going to do that. Because he's a six-yard player, and if you haven't ever, we're not bombing down the wing, but there was no urgency in the last 15 minutes. The urgency was from the opposition. We weren't in any way, shape or form taking the game, because every time we tried to, they nullified it very simply and brought the ball away. So you've got to play two up top. It's as simple as that. Don't bring a centre forward off and put then Fagbola up top expecting him to do a Dave Chadwick in 2005, 2006 in the North West Counties, which ultimately he would do.
It didn't work then, though, to be fair.
Not all the time, but no. It works on occasion. You usually recognise strikers and you say, you know what, McCarthy, off you come. We've got nothing down the left-hand side anyway. Bish, bash, bosh. On goes Greaves. Pairs him up with Gilchrist and you see what could come of that.
But I think that, I mean, we mustn't get too sort of, I mean, basically that there's been a statement really with the squad is that it's time to move on. You might say, well, Greaves should be playing and maybe so, but he would be kept at the club as someone who would be more of an impact player. It's clear...
Well, I don't think Tom Greaves thinks that.
No. I'm sure he doesn't. But what I'm saying is that it's clear that the management want to now change it. And when we're playing some of the stronger teams, as we have done so far this season, we've come unstuck. And there's been some good signs there. So I would be reluctant to get... To draw too many ultra negative conclusions at this stage, you know, it takes.
That's not the radio style.
It's 10 games, isn't it? They say it's 10 games, and then you can start to
panic.
You can start to make a judgment. But I think there's a lot of quality footballs. There's a couple of quality players not even on the bench today. So there's an abundance of quality. There's a psych with Logan. To me, it looked like a really psychological thing. He came up really shaking his head, and Darren Lyons was speaking to him saying, it's okay, and he really can't. So that's someone who's obviously affected. If his game isn't going well, rather than say it doesn't matter, what's done is done, it affects him. So
okay,
that's a young
I understand
player
that.
So I think that I think that there are some signs that it's clearly we agree that the defence has to solidify, and hopefully it will do with the two experienced players there. We've got fullback Danny Wisdom slotting in. He's slotting well as a goal scorer. Joel at right back, looking good. And I think that it's a question of developing that consistency and seeing the skill that, for example, Nathan Lowe has for 90 minutes. And I think that they're a new squad knitting together. And let's hope the management will look at that and let's get the passing game.
The passing game's been in there for large parts of the game. But as I say, then we've gone missing, and that's the problem when you've gone missing for such length of time. Doesn't matter how good your defence is, if your midfield has gone missing, as they have done, and they've been bypassed for the vast majority of the second half, your defence is never, ever going to be able to compete with an onslaught. When you've got recovering players not recovering... Now, I know what you're saying about individual players, but we're now in the big boys' league. This is the Conference North, two divisions away from Football League. There's no point in bringing a player in that isn't capable or doesn't have the minerals, let's say, to not be able to go out there and put in performance and also then be able to be criticised for it.
Oh, no.
I'm not talking about individuals here. I'm just talking about in general as a team. And there's enough experience out there. And the gelling bit and all the rest of it, that's pre-season. You've got to do that in pre-season.
Oh, you've got to do it on the field in a match. I mean, you can't do it, particularly part-time. I mean, I think you've got...
You can do it in pre-season games.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, of course you can. Well, that's true.
It's an old Roy Sill quote, isn't it, about you can't do the, you can't take into account the pitch, the referee, the weather. Everyone's got an equal say, and everyone has pre-season, and everyone has the first game of the season. Mm. So you can't use gelling. They've not quite gelled yet as an excuse, because everyone's at the same status. Well, that's when it comes to the
but
first
what
weekend
I'm saying, what the point I'm making is that FC have made a lot of changes, and therefore, I would have thought. And you know more about football than
Don't use that one.
Okay, Splice, we're splicing that one. Okay,
acting maybe.
Splice. You know a lot more about that than I do. I know, but is that, that therefore there is going to be a thing of getting to know each other? Surely, you know, and we'll see in 10. I would say I'm not saying we don't. We sit here in silence and wait for 10 games, and then we make our. Of course, we'll do what we keep doing, but I think. That we've played, it would seem, three strong sides, and we've not come out on top, and there are clearly shortcomings which we've talked a lot about, and I agree, but I think that these are players who are getting to know each other, and Nathan Lowe, for example, has got a much more senior role than he's perhaps had in the past. He's been almost the fulcrum of the midfield. I do think that Scott Kay. When he comes back, I think that's next weekend. Is he available again?
He will
help to protect the back four, and he will have authority. He'll also get a few yellow cards as well. But I think that'll be an interesting development. We're talking about waiting to Hughes coming back, like Matty Hughes. Well, he's come back now. Let's see also when everybody's available.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I say that there was certainly first half. Good positives for the first 25-30 minutes. Can't say anything other than that. In the same way, you know, I thought we started the game as we finished against Spennymoor. You know, I thought the impetus was there against Spennymoor. We were not to say unlucky not to get something out of it, but we were showing good signs of how we can move forward. And I thought we started off the game on that premise, which was good. But I was just disappointed with the fact that too many players disappeared through the second half, and. It made it look a bit easier. I mean, the 2-1 scoreline doesn't reflect really how easy it was in that second half for Kidderminster. And some good defending from FC stopped more than two or three goals going in. But, you know, we find another day. Southport, you know, it's a big, first time there. It's going to be a big game for us. I think they've won again today, Southport. You know, so they're riding high up at the table. And FC United and Manchester, well, you know, no one expected us to go to Kidderminster last season and win 2-0 away. So Southport will be looking at this and saying, well, you know what? They've been beaten three games on the bounce, and that's where they'll be thinking, actually, that's time to worry when you're getting beaten by three. What's going on, Ben? You're moving in.
What?
It's like you're moving in, you're sliding in.
It looks like you were doing some sort of performance art then.
It was good, though, wasn't it?
I'd
really value your feedback with regards to that bit of performance art.
Yeah, well, maybe out of air.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, yes. It's not suitable for anyone. But anyway, on that, I suppose from Broadhurst Park, it's unfortunately another defeat for FC United and Manchester, but we ride another day. As you say, you've not been relegated or won the league three games into the season, although it is nice to see Chelsea getting battered. But anyway, it's onwards and upwards. So we'll see you at Southport. I mean, and we will be able to see the sea, because they've built the what's her name now?
The van.
The promenade is now that long, it actually reaches the sea. So I don't know how many crates they've used to build it, but I mean, basically, it is monumental. So we'll see you at Southport on Tuesday for FC Live, as always. And from then, it's a good afternoon to James.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon from Ben. And a big good afternoon from young Dylan. Good afternoon, Dylan. He's a very polite gentleman. I don't know where he gets it from. Not from his dad, I can tell you that. Anyway, we'll see you all again very, very soon. Take care. Viva FC.
Good night.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
Thanks for joining us after that one, Carl. It was a very good opening to the game from FC United, but then Kidderminster turned the screw more and more, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we probably shaded the first half. Definitely the first 25 minutes of the game, and then conceded again off a poor goal for us in respect to we'd got a little bit too deep, the midfielder got too deep and allowed them a chance to put a cross in, and when you got players with the quality Dan Bradley's got, they don't disappoint. So Yeah, and then second half, they've adapted and changed it a little bit. And I thought that, you know, I've just said to the lads in there, you've been beat by a better team on the day, and that's what full-time football, and Kidderminster Starry's been to the party.
One of the things we've been talking about, you and me, throughout pre-season and in the game so far, is the mistakes that are being made. Is there anything we could do to rectify it?
Yeah, keep working. Keep analysing, keep being honest, and you know, that's what we've got in there. Lads who, if they do make a mistake, they hold their hands up. Everyone makes them. You know, you make them in your job
more times than not.
Yeah. You know, so and there's also an element of luck involved in every football match. You know, on another day, the winning goal that they've scored, it's just fell right to the lad for the tapping, whereas we have that good play where James Hooper's had a shot. He's been spilled by the keeper, and Jason Gilchrist, somehow the keeper saved it.
Yeah,
it's gone over the bar. Yeah, another day that doesn't happen. And we're 2-1, and they've got to change again to try and get back in the game.
Now, speaking of changes, you made a couple today. You brought in Matty Hughes. Talking about pre-season, it looked like it was going to be Matty Hughes and Fag Bowler. What's your thinking, just dropping Matty Hughes straight in? Were you happy? Because he looked like he was going to get his second yellow at one point, wasn't he?
I think the referee was a bit harsh in the first booking, you know, for three minutes in, and he branches a yellow card, which, you know, obviously it was a foul. He was committed to go and win the ball, but I think the referee should have showed a little bit more leniency in that respect. And Matty brings lots of things to the party. You know, he's talking, he's organisation,
that was nice,
and things like that. So yeah, that was the thinking behind it.
And we've brought James Hooper in as well. What's the thinking behind James Hooper coming?
He's available. We saw him last year, how you know, good a player he is. So just needs to work on his fitness with him and get him up to speed. But you know, he's another one who brings plenty to the party.
Now that also left you with some dilemmas with regards to substitutes, bench, and the squad's already quite beefy. Obviously, you know, Sam Baird not in the substitutes bench, Michael Jones, Kieran Glynn, and Jake Williams having to go to Buxton. How are you juggling all this results on the pitch with youth side of things?
Yeah, trying to get the right kind of blend. I think you know, early season, it's difficult. It's difficult for young players to get into games. You know, Mike, I think that was shown. You know, with Mike starting at Brackley, and you know, just looking at not so much off the pace, because it is going to come with when their development. Kieran's missed. He's probably had two training sessions in the whole of pre-season. So, you know, I think we saw again the other night when we put Kieran on. He looks a bit off the pace, and he's thinking. And you know, we've had a chat with him about him getting up to speed. And Sam Baird, you know, has probably been a little bit unfortunate, but we decided we'd you know, go with a balance of a left-footed centre-back with Zach. And Sam will come again. He's, you know, they're all there. They're all in our thinking, and we've got plans for all of them.
And heading off then to Southport, it's Southport proving to be quite capable this season in the first few games, certainly. Today you brought on Lingfield and Tom Greaves. Are you heading towards that kind of more experience getting?
I haven't.
Or no?
No, I haven't. Jason Gilchrist scored 2-2, so you know, so I've not really given any thought to it, to be honest.
And Rich Baker going off with a bit of a knock.
Yeah,
how we're looking with injuries and stuff?
Just Rich's knee, so we'll have to see. There's a couple of carrying little niggles, but nothing major.
Well, Carl, thanks for joining us, mate.
Cheers, Ben.
FC United manager Carl Margeson there following his side's 2-1 loss against Kidderminster Harriers at Broadhurst Park. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy Saturday afternoon in the National League North, it's back over now to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, that third straight defeat for FC United leaves the Reds second from bottom. But, good news, FCers, we've still not got the worst record in the league. that mantle goes to North Ferriby United, who've not only lost the opening three matches, but conceded 11 while scoring none. The latest defeat being a 5-0 home defeat to Brackley. Brackley Town, Darlington and Southport continue to all possess 100% records in the league so far. Darlington were only a goal short of matching Brackley as they beat Alfreton Town 4-1 at Blackwell Meadows. Next opponents for FC, Southport, they made it 3 wins from 3 games after beating newly promoted Leamington 1-0 away from home. Relegated York City made it 2 wins from 3 games with a romping 5-0 win at Bradford Park Avenue's Horsfall Stadium, while Gainsborough Trinity recorded their first win of the season at Nuneaton Town. Newly promoted by the Spartans were another side to get off the dreaded nil points mark with a 4-2 win over Tamworth at Croft Park. Well done, Blythe. But Telford United were handed their second straight defeat as they were beaten 2-0 by Salford City at the new Buck's Head. Harrogate Town were held to a point by Stockport County at Edgeley Park, dropping their first points of the campaign. While it's 1-1, lost 1 and drawn 1 now for both Chorley and Curzon Ashton as they shared the points at Victory Park on Saturday. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Cheerio!
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this week with 2 league matches on the road. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, FC United travel to the Lancashire coast to take on Southport. The address for the ground is Hague Avenue, Southport, PR86JZ. That's Hague Avenue, PR86JZ. Kickoff on Tuesday evening will be at 7:45 p.m. And then on Saturday afternoon, it's over to Yorkshire to take on our old friends Bradford Park Avenue. The address for the ground is Horsfall Stadium, Cemetery Road, Bradford, BD6 2NG. That's the Horsfall Stadium, BD6 2NG. Kickoff on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But as always, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FCUM radio.
FCUM Radio, where 3 in the hand are worth 5 in the bush.
To the women's team now, and with the league season starting at the beginning of September, pre-season for Luke Podmore's side continued on Sunday afternoon, with FC United hosting Welsh Premier League side Rhyl. And I can happily report that the Reds made it 5 pre-season wins from 5, as FC United won by 6-0. Next up for the Reds will be a match at Nelson on Wednesday evening and an away trip to Crewe Alexandra this coming Sunday. And that's nearly it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club, but just a reminder that FCUM Radio is now available in visual form. You can subscribe to FCUM Radio's very own YouTube channel by visiting youtube.com/FCUM Radio. But staying with purely the audio version of FCUM Radio, you can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time. This summer, FC United will once again be operating the Pay What You Can Afford season ticket scheme, as well as the new 3-year season ticket. To purchase your season ticket, please visit www.fcumshop.co.uk or over the phone during office hours on 0161 769 2005 or in person at the club office during working hours. This season promises to be a cracker, so please don't delay. Purchase your FC United season ticket today.
FC Radio.
Right. Do you know-